From Storyflow, this is your daily audio brief.
Hey, it's Theo.
August 31st.
Here are 5 stories I'd flag if you missed yesterday's end of day. Let's get into it.
First from KD Nuggets. 7 Python mistakes beginners make and what to do instead.
Hey.
I just read this article about common Python mistakes beginners make and it really got me thinking.
It highlights how often the issues arise not from Python itself, but from assumptions we make about how things work.
For instance, one major pitfall is installing packages into a different Python environment, which can lead to frustrating import errors.
The article suggests creating and activating a virtual environment to keep things organized.
Another surprising mistake is naming your script the same as a standard library module like json.py. This can cause Python to get confused and use your file instead of the actual library.
Renaming the file usually solves the problem.
Then there's the classic issue of trusting user input without converting it to the expected type. If a user types 25, it's still a string, which can cause errors down the line. The article emphasizes converting input right away and handling any conversion errors gracefully.
It also talks about the danger of catching exceptions without logging them.
If you just ignore errors, you lose valuable context about what went wrong,
and modifying a collection while iterating over it can lead to skipped items, which is a common oversight.
Lastly, it points out that using zip without considering the lengths of your lists can lead to missing data without any warning.
The article encourages being deliberate about these assumptions and checking what's actually happening under the hood.
It's a solid reminder to interrogate our code before jumping to fixes.
Next, second from KD Nuggets.
Speed up LLM inference with DSpark speculative decoding. So there's this new technique called DSpark that can really speed up how local large language models generate text. It's all about speculative decoding, which helps models predict future tokens more efficiently without needing extra GPUs. DSpark does this by blending parallel processing with a bit of sequential logic, allowing later predictions to use earlier context. When they tested it with a Q1 3.8 billion model, they found that it improved generation speed by about 31.5%, going from 95 tokens per second to 124.9.
That's a solid bump.
The setup is pretty straightforward, especially if you're using llama.cpp, but the catch is that it only works with a limited number of models right now.
So, while it's a neat option to explore, traditional methods like multi-token prediction might still be more practical for a broader range of applications.
Up next, third from TechCrunch AI.
NVIDIA's $3.5 billion MediaTek bet reveals its plan for tackling big tech's AI chip build-out. NVIDIA is making a significant move by investing $3.5 billion in MediaTek, a Taiwanese chipmaker, to integrate its technology for customer AI chips. This partnership allows MediaTek to develop chips that can seamlessly fit into NVIDIA's data centers, which is a strategic response to the rising trend of AI companies and cloud providers like Amazon and Google, creating their own chips to reduce reliance on NVIDIA's GPUs.
What's interesting is how this deal reflects NVIDIA's broader strategy of fostering an ecosystem where its technology remains central, even as custom silicon gains ground.
By giving MediaTek access to its NVLink Fusion ecosystem, NVIDIA ensures that various chips can communicate efficiently, enhancing the overall functionality of data centers.
MediaTek, which has been expanding its custom chip operations, is expected to generate around $2 billion in revenue from this segment by 2026.
Their expertise in various sectors from smartphones to automotive tech positions them well for this collaboration.
They'll also continue to work with NVIDIA on AI platforms for vehicles, blending NVIDIA's graphics capabilities with MediaTek's innovations.
Overall, this partnership not only strengthens NVIDIA's foothold in the AI space, but also opens up new opportunities for MediaTek, allowing it to cater to a broader customer base while leveraging NVIDIA's established infrastructure.
It's a fascinating example of how companies are navigating the evolving landscape of AI computing.
And then,
fourth from the decoder,
OpenClaw 2.0 brings simplified setup, a rebuilt browser app, and multiplayer sessions.
OpenClaw 2.0 just dropped,
and it's a big one. They've streamlined the setup process, which now automatically finds your existing resources like API keys and AI subscriptions.
That's a nice touch, right?
It means less time fumbling around and more time diving into what you want to build.
The browser app has been completely rebuilt from the ground up, so it should feel fresh and responsive.
Plus, they've added real-time collaboration features, allowing multiple users to work together seamlessly.
And if that wasn't enough, you can now run cloud sessions on rented machines, making it easier to access powerful resources without needing your own hardware.
It's all about making the experience smoother and more accessible.
Next,
fifth from the decoder opener. I start charging some customers only when it's a actually works opener. I is shifting its pricing model for some big clients, introducing a system where they only pay when the AI successfully completes a task.
This approach is part of a broader trend among companies like Salesforce and Adobe, who are also moving away from traditional subscription fees.
It's interesting because it puts a focus on the actual performance of the AI rather than just a flat fee for access.
This raises an intriguing question about credit for success. Is it the AI that deserves the accolades, or is it the customer who effectively utilizes it?
This dynamic could reshape how we think about the value of AI in business and how success is measured.
It's a fascinating shift in the industry that might lead to more accountability and a clearer understanding of what these technologies can really do.
Up next,
6 from the Decoder.
ChatGPT now faces stricter EU oversight as a very large search engine. So here's the scoop. The EU Commission has decided to classify ChatGPT as a very large search engine. This is a big deal because it means OpenAI will have to comply with stricter regulations under the Digital Services Act. They are looking at a user base of at least 4 to 5 million people in the EU, which is no small number.
By 2026, OpenAI needs to provide various reports, including risk assessments and transparency reports, plus an archive of ads.
There's a bit of a debate among legal experts about whether the EU can actually demand access to the training data used for ChatGPT, which could really change how things work.
It's interesting to see how this will unfold and what it means for AI regulation moving forward.
And then,
7th from the Decoder.
China's CXMT makes its first HBM3E chips, closing the AI memory gap. So here's the scoop. Changxin Memory Technologies, or CXMT, has just rolled out its first batch of HBM3E chips. This is pretty significant because HBM3E is that high-speed memory you often find in AI processors, which means it's crucial for performance. What's interesting is how CXMT, the Chinese company, is stepping up in a space that's been dominated by a few big players. The production of these chips is still in small quantities, but it signals a shift in the memory landscape, especially given the growing demand for AI capabilities. This could help close the memory gap that's been a bottleneck for AI development, making it easier for more companies to access high-performance memory without relying solely on the usual suppliers.
It's a fascinating development, especially considering the geopolitical context and how it might influence global supply chains.
CXMT move could not only boost China's tech independence, but also shake things up in the memory market overall. Keep an eye on how this unfolds. Next.
8 from the Decoder. OpenAI says its ChatGPT ad business hit a $1 billion annual run rate. OpenAI has shared that its advertising business tied to ChatGPT has hit a significant milestone, reaching a $1 billion annual run rate.
This is interesting because it highlights how the company is monetizing its AI technology in a way that aligns with user engagement.
What's particularly noteworthy is how they've managed to integrate ads without disrupting the user experience.
The focus seems to be on maintaining a balance between providing valuable content and generating revenue, which is no small feat in the tech world.
This growth reflects a broader trend of AI platforms exploring diverse revenue streams, and it's a clear signal that the demand for AI-driven tools is still on the rise.
It'll be intriguing to see how they continue to evolve this model while keeping user satisfaction in mind.
Up next,
9th from Towards Data Science.
Agent Ops is not MLOps. What breaks in your monitoring stack when agents go to production?
When you think about MLOps, it's easy to assume that everything will just flow smoothly when you introduce agents into the mix.
But it turns out that's not quite the case.
Agents can really shake things up in your monitoring stack, especially when it comes to those 5 key assumptions we often take for granted.
For instance, inherited signals that are typically reliable can suddenly mislead you by marking failed ones as healthy.
It's like a sneaky little glitch that can throw off your entire system.
The crux of the issue lies in how agents operate differently from traditional models. They often generate data in real time, which can overwhelm your existing monitoring tools that aren't built to handle that kind of influx.
This can lead to a disconnect between what's actually happening and what your monitoring systems report.
Imagine relying on a dashboard that's showing green lights only to find out later that things were actually going south.
Another surprising twist is how agents can introduce new failure modes that MLOps frameworks aren't equipped to catch.
These new dynamics can complicate performance metrics and skew your understanding of model health. So if you're still using the same monitoring strategies you had in place for your standard models, you might be in for a rude awakening.
In short, as you start to integrate agents into your workflows, it's crucial to reassess your monitoring strategies. You'll want to ensure that your systems are not just passively reporting data, but actively adapting to the unique behaviors of agents.
This means investing time in understanding these shifts and possibly retooling your monitoring stack to avoid those pitfalls.
It's all about staying ahead of the curve and making sure your insights are as accurate as possible.
And then,
10th from Towards Data Science.
Why RAG complexity should be earned.
So there's this interesting take on RAG, or retrieval augmented generation, that emphasizes the idea of earning complexity in its pipelines.
It suggests that instead of just piling on layers of complexity, we should really focus on understanding the specific failure points we encounter.
The framework proposes starting with simpler methods like basic lexical searches, and then gradually introducing more sophisticated techniques like hybrid searches or ranking when we see those failures crop up.
The key here is that complexity should be a response to real challenges rather than a default setting. It's like learning to ride a bike. You start with training wheels and only take them off when you're ready.
This approach not only streamlines the process, but also makes it more efficient and tailored to the actual needs of the system.
It's a refreshing perspective that encourages a more thoughtful evolution of RAG pipelines, ensuring that each layer added is purposeful and grounded in practical experience.
That's it for today. Tomorrow morning, whatever the night brings,
stay curious.
If this saved you time, the full feed is free at storyflow.com.